Now, in theory, it is possible to sail from the River Blackwater, round the coast, and into the Crouch. You head for Holland for a bit, turn right for a bit, and then right again. Then you shout at the natives on the shore, and if you can't understand a word they say, you're either in Spitsbergen or Burnham-on-Crouch. If the blokes are wearing faded pink trousers, no socks, dinky little moccasins, and upturned collar rugby shirts sponsored by an investment bank, it's definitely Burnham, or possibly the Hamble. Only, it's not as simple as that. I've measured it with my night school dividers, which had to be soaked in WD-40 for 2 weeks before they could be unseized using block and tackle, a tree, and two Land Rovers. The other option was to pop into the local chandlery for a new pair, which, being marine items, would have cost about as much as two Land Rovers and a sapling to replace the tree I broke earlier. But it's not just the money, as being seen entering a chandlery in Malden is social death. It marks you out as a feeble yachtie and someone lacking the facility to contrive everything you need to go sailing from a rusty girder, old tarpaulin and a lump of pitch. Anyway, after carefully piercing my chart with a random series of rusty perforations, my findings revealed the distance going south from the Blackwater to the mouth of the Crouch to be, to the nearest mile, almost exactly somewhere between 8.6 and 437 miles. Magnetic. Once I'd made the necessary adjustments for variation and deviation, the final true figures were slightly broader, which makes me think my dividers might be faulty. What's more, these weren't normal miles, but nautical ones, which are longer, slower, and wetter. Thus, by applying UHT, interpolating BLT, compensating for HRT, and talking to everyone in the Queen's Head in Malden, I performed the standard conversion to arrive at a full understanding of the true scale of the undertaking. In a word, impossible. Next, I studied the pilot books, and they reckoned it was even harder than that. However, the general consensus was that it could be done, but with a few provisos and caveats, which I don't carry on my sailfish. It's very basic. Nothing daunted, I packed my passport along with some brightly coloured marbles for bartering and set off. According to the pilot books, the recommended route is to turn left out of the Blackwater, left again at Cape Roth at the top of Scotland. You can pass Ireland to port or starboard as you wish, but stay as far away from Liverpool as possible. That's just general advice, by the way, not a nautical instruction. Hook a left at Land's End, left at Dover, nip across the Thames, and once the Berger Gris cloud above Southend bears 612 degrees phonetic, hang another left into the Crouch. Job done. That's around 2,000 miles. Admittedly, that's a bit like driving all the way around the M25 to get from Junction 2 to Junction 1, but the pilot guides reckon this is the most prudent and sailorly option. For the utterly reckless or more adventurous, there's a more direct 20-mile offshore route, which involves ducking the 300-mile-an-hour blades of the Gunfleet wind farm and not hitting the buoys, which are liberally and randomly scattered like the cones in a dog agility course. Annoyingly, most of them are plonked like bollards in shallow pits exactly where you want to be. It's irresponsible. And then, for total cowards, there's a much shorter inshore route, which is the most dangerous of all. I chose that one. This route takes you through the Raisin Channel, which, according to the pilot guide, is not only not where it used to be, but may not be there at all. First, though, you have to avoid the wrecks used for dive bombing practice targets on the Dingy Flats. This is Essex, after all, and it's what the Romford Navy do when they've smashed up their jet skis. The next major hazard is low-flying cricket balls, but if they don't kill you, they're also a useful aid to navigation, as they identify the hard sands where every year they play the Buxy Ashes cricket game. And all the while, you're supposed to be shooting the sun, not in an Essex way, doing sums and making meaningful marks on your chart in case an RYA examiner surfaces alongside in a mini-sub and hops on board. Now, if there are digital sailors and analogue ones, I must be a Neanderthal one. I've got a compass and a late Regency Seafarer echo sounder, powered by a PP9 battery. It's the less is less approach. I reckon any more than that, and there's a danger you might hit something while you're looking at your instruments. With fewer instruments, you'll still hit it, but it won't have cost you as much. You see, less is less. So that's why I scour and dissect the pilot guides, the way forensic pathologists study a murder scene. As pilot guides all contradict one another, you have to read all of them and then pick the bits you like from each. One said, "There is no clear channel across the last mile where the Buxey and Ray Sands join." Another said, "The North Buxey boy is no longer there to guide you." Now, if it's not there, why do you need to know it's not there? The same guide concluded, "Do not expect to find any clear-cut channel or gutway." And these were the good bits. The Holy Grail, goal and ultimate prize of the Raisin Passage, is a spherical yellow buoy that marks the deep water of the Crouch. "But," said the guide, "this is liable to be moved or go missing." Once again, this is Essex after all, so it'll probably turn up at a car boot sale. Now, as all buoys, whatever their colour or shape, all look the same. The pilot guides also use landmarks like the conspicuous pylons on Foulness, which could also be chimneys, cranes, sticks, letterboxes, lampposts, for sale signs, or possibly buoys. One guide even mentions the seals of Foulness. But they're not trained to give directions. Mind you, they did clap and one nodded. I think it was a seal of approval. So I reckon I made it through, although I couldn't tell you for sure where exactly the Raisin Channel was on that blustery, white-knuckle afternoon. And anyway, it probably isn't there now. So, if I were you, I wouldn't use this article for navigation. Yet, as I turned into the Crouch, it dawned on me that an even bigger challenge lay ahead. Would I survive Burnham? They haven't got a pilot guide for that, but a phrasebook and a copy of Debrett's might help.